So I guess we'll do more of a condensed version today, but we do have some time. The next person I want to discuss, last week we discussed Aaron, and we've hit most of the major characters in the Torah by this point. We did all the patriarchs and the matriarchs, we did Moshe, we did Aaron, but there are definitely some other people that are still worth discussing, a lot of lessons to learn from them.
We only discuss the spies today?
I want to discuss the spies, yeah. Well, really one particular spy. I want to discuss Kalev ben Yefuneh. Kalev ben Yefuneh was one of the 12 spies sent in to spy out the land of Israel. And he was one of the two spies that didn't participate in the plot of the other spies. So I want to introduce a little bit the story of the spies overall, but then I want to focus in on Kalev ben Yefuneh. The story of the spies is in the Parsha 2 weeks ago, Parsha Shlach, and it's actually sort of a tragic event in the Chumash. It's looked at as one of the major sins of the Jewish people in the desert, a national sin. And the setting is, the Jews were ready to enter into the land of Israel. This is only, I believe, the second year after leaving Egypt. So we all know they wandered in the desert for 40 years. It wasn't supposed to be that way. They should have gone into Israel pretty much following receiving the Torah. I believe it's the second year where this happened, if I get my dates correct. They were there, ready to enter into the land of Israel, and the people came to Moshe, let's send out some spies to spy out the land. That request itself is not necessarily an appropriate request to make. It's a long discussion in all the commentaries as to why they make that request, was it appropriate or inappropriate, who was the initiator of that request, was God, did God approve of that plan, not approve of that plan. But basically, it's looked at as an inappropriate request. Because when God guarantees to you, yeah, I'm going to give you the land of Israel, I'm going to take care of you, I'm going to make sure that you're safe, then why do you have to send spies in? Spies are there because you have to devise some military plans so you can come into the land and take over it. But if God's guaranteed to you already that I'm going to take you in the land, and I'm going to make sure you're safe, I'm going to make sure you conquer what needs to be conquered, so the request itself to send in spies, it doesn't really have a place. There's this lack of trust in God making that request. So that's one discussion, which is not my focus today, but that's sort of the backdrop of the story of the spies. So the Jews did send in spies. They selected 12 spies to go into Israel. And these 12 spies, the Torah describes, were very important people. They're the leaders of all the tribes. It says, Roshei b'nei Yisrael hema. They were the Roshim. They were the heads of the b'nei Yisrael. So these weren't just your everyday folks. These were very, very important, prestigious, significant people in their time. And they're selected, one of each tribe was selected to go into the land of Israel and check out the land. And Moshe himself gave them instructions as to what you should look for. If you read through the story in the Torah in Parsha Shlach, that Moshe says, look, how they're situated, look at the people. He gives them the instructions of what they should be spying out exactly. So that was their instructions, and they were given guidance from Moshe Rabbeinu. The story goes on that the spies came back with a negative report about the land. They said the land is filled with these mighty, strong warriors. There's no way we can overtake it, even with God's help. And they denied God's power in that sense. They're saying even God can't help us conquer this land. And it was a very tragic scene. At that point, God said, you're going to have to wander the desert for 40 years. Everyone alive in this generation is not allowed to enter into the land of Israel, except for the two spies that didn't involve themselves in this plot. And that's how the story goes. And the two spies who did not become involved in this plot were Kalev ben Yefuneh, who was from the tribe of Yehuda, and Yeshua ben Nun. Yeshua, who would go on to be the leader of the Jews after Moshe, he was the other spy who didn't involve himself in this plan. The other 10 spies, they plotted against the Jews, merely against God's wishes, and they came back to try and convince all the Jews the land was too powerful to conquer, we can't go in there. And they were punished, and the entire people was punished because the people believed their story, and all people sort of gave up hope from entering into the land based on the report of the spies. And it was a major, major tragedy within the desert, and there was a very strong lack of confidence in Hashem, which transpired during this whole event. So that's sort of the backdrop of the scene. Just as an aside, the negative report they came back with is really based on, they had a desire to report back negative ongoings in the land. So even those things which you could put a positive twist on, they actually reported negatively about. So for instance, the story goes, which the famous the famous emblem of tourism in Israel nowadays, the men holding the grapes. So that's the story for the spies. They came back holding these very large fruits to show that the fruits of the land were so large. So you could view that as a very positive thing. Look at this land. It's an incredible land. Look how nice and sweet and, you know, and plentiful the fruits are. But they came back and said, look at the size of these fruits. Imagine people eat these fruits. These fruits are so big. Well, the people who eat them are giants. So you can look at it from either direction. You can say, wow, Hashem is giving us such a beautiful land with such great produce. Or you can say the people who live there right now, if they eat that produce, they're going to be very strong, powerful people to overcome. So you can put whatever twist on it you want. So they chose to put on a negative twist. The Torah records, really the rabbis tell us, that when they walked through the land, they saw many funerals taking place. And really, the rabbis teach us that Hashem had actually caused these funerals to happen during this time as a distraction. Because if the inhabitants of the land saw the spies, so when you see spies, you arrest them, question them, kill them, etc. So Hashem wanted to put into place distraction so no one noticed the spies going through. So all these funerals taking place, and I guess the deaths that happened at that time, were specifically designated to help the spies. Yet the spies came back and said, this land is awful. People are dying left and right. The land eats up its inhabitants. It's a very dangerous place to live. You don't want to live there. And again, they put the wrong twist on the situation. Really, they could have seen God's kindness and God's providence in this land, but yet they put a negative twist on it to convince the Jews not to enter into the land. So that's sort of an aside, and which led them to the conclusion that even Hashem himself can't overcome this nation which is living there right now. So that was the story of the spies. There's a lot more discussion within that story. But within our theme of focusing on the personalities, there's one very important personality here, which I think we can gain a lot from, which is Kalev ben Yefuneh. He was the spy from the tribe of Judah. And if you look through the Torah's account of this whole story, he didn't participate in this. He came back, he tried to convince the Jews, the land is wonderful, we can certainly overtake it, and these guys are telling you lies, these guys are wrong. And he tried to convince the Jews otherwise. Yehoshua was the other spy who didn't involve himself within the plot. You don't see him proactively taking a stance. He didn't join in with the other 10 spies. He wasn't the one who was proactive in convincing the Jews that those spies are wrong. Kalev was the one who was proactive in doing that. So I'm going to focus in on Kalev today. Chazal tell us, the rabbis teach us, that the motive of the spies, amongst many other motives they had, the one major motive they had was that since they were the leaders of the Jews in the desert, so they felt that if we enter into Israel, the whole structure of leadership will change. We're going to lose our positions. We're not going to be leaders anymore. So that was part of what was driving them to plot against the Jewish people, was that we will maintain our positions of leadership. If we enter into Israel, so the whole structure, the political structure, the leadership structure is going to change. We're going to lose out on our positions. Kalev and Yehoshua were also in those positions, and they had to overcome that drive in order so they could report back honestly about the land. So those two spies didn't participate. It's very interesting because the temptation to join the rest of the spies, as you read the account in the Torah and of the rabbis, it was a very powerful temptation. I mean, we don't necessarily have all the facts in place as to whose people were, what were their positions within the desert, how were their positions changed and entered into Israel. But it seemed like there was a very powerful force drawing all the spies, including Kalev and Yehoshua, into this plot. And to excuse themselves from the story and to go up against the other spies and try to show the Jews that the other 10 spies are wrong took a lot of personal strength and self-confidence, which not every person has. And that's one of the very important lessons we'll see from Kalev. Yehoshua himself, he's worth his own discussion, but Yehoshua in terms of this event, the Torah tells us, or the rabbis tell us, that Moshe himself, he had some sort of foresight that this may not turn out right. And Moshe prayed on behalf of Yehoshua that he should not get himself involved in the plotting of the other spies. So Yehoshua had the benefit of Moshe's prayer on his side. Moshe's prayer obviously is a very powerful thing. Yes?
Didn't he change his name?
Changed his name, right. His name was Israel Yehoshea. He changed it to Yehoshua, which means God should save. And the rabbis say one of Moshe's hidden intents in that was that God should save him from this draw of the other spies, from being drawn into their plot. So Yehoshua, a great person in his own right, he doesn't seem he proactively stood up against the spies. It wasn't a level of self-confidence and personal strength, perseverance, which allowed him to separate himself. A lot of it was due to Moshe's guidance and Moshe's prayer, which kept him aside. So that's Yehoshua. And what's striking about Kalev, Kalev did not have the benefit of Moshe's prayers. Kalev was an individual. He was a great human being. He saw that what the spies were doing was not the will of God. He saw that the land was actually a great, beautiful land. He had full trust in God. He was able to distance himself from the spies based on his own personal strength, not based on any external forces. So I want to look through just a few of the sources. Yes? Right, so we'll get to that in a minute. But that was his own decision. He went to do it, right? So I want to go through just a few sources as to how did Kalev distance himself from the spies? Where did he get that strength from? And therefore, what we can gain from it. Because there are a few sources as to where the strength came from. The first point is what Stanley is pointing out. The Torah says that all the spies traveled into Israel, and then it says, V'yavo ad Hebron. It should say V'yavo. In Hebrew grammar, V'yavo we plural. V'yavo'u. But it says V'yavo. He came to Hebron. So it says all the spies went into the land, and he came to Hebron. So who's that he? This individual we're focusing on. The Torah changes its description from plural to singular. So the rabbis tell us, referring to Kalev ben Yefune, Kalev decided to go to Hebron. What's in Hebron? The Marasa Machpelah, the burial place of the patriarchs, the matriarchs. So he decided, I'm going to separate from the other spies, and I'm going to take myself to one of the most powerful sites of tefillah, prayer in the entire world, the Marasa Machpelah, and daven that should not be drawn into the plan of the spies. Which tells us two things. Number one, that it's such a powerful draw that to join in with them, it was such a difficult thing to separate himself. He had to daven very strongly to Hashem, please save me. I need help from God to be saved from this plot. That's one point. But also we see that he proactively decided that I can't be drawn in. I don't want to be drawn in. I know it's the wrong thing to do. I'm going to separate myself and I'm going to daven very, very hard. I'm going to put all my strength into my prayer so that Hashem gives me the help to be saved from the plot of the spies. And the rabbis even tell us that he fasted as well. He spent days fasting, he spent days praying, just so he wouldn't be drawn into this plot. So again, why the draw was so powerful? He needed to go through such spiritual exercises to avoid being drawn in. That we don't have the full understanding of. But yet it was a very powerful draw. Kalev had to daven not only from where he was, but go to a very powerful site of prayer, which is the grave site of our patriarchs and matriarchs. And even he had to fast and repent in order to be saved from this plot. So to bring that to us in a practical manner, we're also confronted with challenges, and we see that prayer is really an essential tool for prevailing over life's challenges. Kalev saw there's a challenge here, there's a spiritual challenge I have to overcome. It has to do with midos, with character, that to set aside my own drive for power and for leadership for the will of God. And therefore, I need to pray that God helps me do that. I set aside my own ego so that I can perform God's will and have trust in God. That takes prayer. He also, the fact that he prayed at the gravesite of our patriarchs and matriarchs, the Avos and Imahos, that shows us that there's something important about connecting with our patriarchs and our own ancestors, with our heritage, to help us prevail in times of challenge. If we understand that there's a history of the Jewish people, Hashem promised the land of Israel to our patriarchs and matriarchs. I'm part of that chain, and if I go astray, if I give in to a challenge, I'm distancing myself from the chain of history, from my ancestors, from what it means to be part of Jewish history. That's also a powerful thought in trying to prevail when life brings its challenges towards you. So to tap into the fact that I have this lineage, I have these ancestors, I'm part of this nation, that itself could help us prevail in times of challenge. I want to talk more about how it applies to us a little later on. I want to go through some points about Kalev a little bit longer. So Kalev also, the Gemara says that even though the Torah quotes his name as Kalev ben Yefune, so it says Kalev the son of Yefune, so the Torah reports his father's name was Yefune. The Gemara says that really that's not accurate. His father's name was actually Chetzron, is his father's name, not Yefune. So the question is, why does the Torah tell us his father's name was Yefune? So it says that really the Yefune is coming to teach us another lesson. The word Yefune, or the root of that, pana, means to either veer astray or to empty something out. If you want to talk about emptying out a pitcher. So one terminology to use is, lefanot, just to empty it out, clear it out. So the rabbis tell us that, why is he called Ben Yefune? Because he proactively emptied himself out, or clear himself out of the temptations of the spies. Meaning that he was very tempted himself to join into this plot. He saw that he'll lose his position of leadership. The whole plot of the spies was very attractive, might be successful. He really wanted to be part of it. He had to proactively pick out of his system, out of his intellect, out of his emotions, any draw he had towards this plot of the spies, so that he wouldn't get involved in it. And that's why he was called Ben Yefuna. So even though really his father's name was Chesro, the Torah says his name is Ben Yefuna, he's the son of cleaning out. He knew how to clean himself out of temptation. And it was a proactive stance he took. He had to clear out his mind, his emotions, to avoid the influence of his cohorts, as called them, not to be influenced. And it takes a lot of thought and focus, and you can again apply that to our lives. When a time of challenge comes our way, and we are drawn into things that may be inappropriate, so we have to proactively step back and clear ourselves out of it. I'm tempted to be involved in this shady deal, or speak lashon hara about this person, and you can apply it in so many different ways. So once the temptation is already in us, it's very difficult not to step in and perform the inappropriate act. But if we step aside for a second and take on this stance of Yefuna, actively cleaning ourselves out, it's difficult, but it requires that as well. So he was tempted, and he said, I can't just go with the flow, I have to clean myself out of this temptation. And he had to think, he had to focus, he had to just really contemplate and search himself to figure out how can I clear out this temptation for myself. Might mean you have to dig deep, might mean you have to confront questions within your own personality. But it has to be an active process. We can't just passively avoid conflict. It has to be actively. I'm clearing the challenge, temptation, out of my being. So that's why he was called Ben Yefuna, as the Gemara says. Another point which you find in Kalev. Is, I think, a very, very essential character trait, really, for any Jew. And in Hebrew, that character trait I would call azus. Azus, to translate it, I don't want to say it's defiance or chutzpah, audacity, something of that sort, strength, boldness. And the idea of azus is the ability, in general, and the rabbis talk about this trait of azus. In Pirkei Avos, there's two different discussions of azus. In one place it says, as panim legehenam, somebody who has this trait of azus, somebody who is, has a lot of chutzpah, has a lot of audacity, has a lot of nerve. So legehenam, he goes straight to Gehenna, straight to hell. That's one discussion of it. That's a terrible trait. You know, and if you have that meat within yourself, it's a terrible thing. You should be able to submit to authority. If you're willing to stand up to that that's around you, it's a terrible thing. That's one discussion. Another discussion says heavy az kenamir. You should be bold like a leopard. So it says you should have azus. You should be bold. That's the other discussion of it. So on the one hand it says this trait of azus takes you straight to the Gehenna. The other discussion is you should do it. It's important to be azus kenamir. It's important to have this boldness. So what's the difference? So the but why is it such an important trait for a Jew? Where the importance does take place? Azus always means standing up to authority. There's a standard. There's somebody who is a position of authority, who's somebody who I should have respect for, older than me, wiser than me, more prestigious. So when I stand up to that person, I defy that person, that's azus. I'm going against the standard, I'm going against somebody who I should be respecting. That's what we call, we call it chutzpah sometimes. You know, chutzpah means I'm saying something to somebody I shouldn't be saying. If I'm out of line, then I'm doing it. That's azus. So the positive part of azus is that when the standards around you are inappropriate according to Torah standards, you have to be able to stand up against those standards. So it says, Az Kenamer, it says you should be bold like a leopard, have azus. It says, Lasos Ritzon Avicha Shema Shemayim, to do the will of your Father in heaven. When it comes to performing God's will, we have to be bold, we have to be strong, courageous, willing to stand up to the standards around us. So if the standard of society is X, and X is something which is not appropriate according to Torah standards, I have to be able to be courageous and strong and stand up against it. If the person in authority is not somebody who's acting appropriately, so then I have to be able to stand up to that person of authority. Typically we say, well, you should follow authority. You know, somebody who's put in a position, is doing a good job, they're here to benefit you, so you should respect them, respect your elders, respect people of authority, respect sages. That's usually the Jewish view. So typically, az panim legehenna. Typically, azus is a bad trait. But if the person in charge or the standard out there is inappropriate, or not, the person's not acting as the person should be acting, so then there are times where you have to step up, be strong, be bold, and over, and willing to defy those standards. So the trait that Kalev had, one of his traits, was this trait of Azus, in that he was around people who were great people. The Torah testifies the Torah, that they were Rosh Hashanah Israel. These are the heads of Jewish people. This is the heads of the 12 tribes. Very powerful. Probably, they're probably sages. They're probably even righteous to a certain degree. And very respected. Probably very dynamic personalities. They were leaders. So the standard around him, between him and his acquaintances, was this plot. Now, that was the conventional wisdom amongst all the spies, was this is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to report. We're going to take a negative stance on the land and go back with a negative report. That was what all the spies thought to do. Kalev was the one spy, really, who had to stand up against them. They said Yeshua was a little bit different, but Kalev had to personally gain the strength, the boldness, what we call the azus, to stand up against these other spies and say, no, you're wrong. I don't care the 10 of you say this is what to do. I'm telling you it's the wrong thing to do. I'm going to defy you. He may not have been the oldest or the wisest or the most righteous of them all. At the end, he wasn't the most righteous of them all, obviously. But at least at that point, he didn't realize that. But he's able to defy that standard. And it's a fascinating thing. His name, Kalev, so the letters of that sound very much similar to a very well-known Hebrew term, a Hebrew word for a dog, Kelev. Kalev and Kelev, the same letters. So it's hard to ignore on the Torah when you see these connections. So we don't want to say he was a dog, because that seems like a pretty negative thing. But the word name Kalev is the same letters as the name Kelev. So what's the connection between Kalev and a Kelev and a dog? So if you look through the discussion of dogs within the Gemara, within a lot of the rabbinic sources, so the dog is actually associated with the trait of Azus. It says that the most Az, again, the most bold or the most audacious of all animals, the Gemara says the dog. On Shabbos, in Zmiros, in Shalosh Shudis, there's a certain song we sing on Shabbos. It talks about Kalvin da Chatzifin, the very audacious, the dogs have chutzpah, is what it talks about. Dogs have chutzpah, dogs have this boldness or this courageous thing, this courageous trait. Why that's associated with a dog, I'm not 100% sure why it is. Someone that once explained to me, which I don't know if this is really what the rabbis meant, but of all animals, which animal is willing to step forth and say, really, I belong with the humans, right? There's a certain chutzpah in that sense. The dog's willing to, he'll sit at the table with you and have dinner on your side, you know, the man's best friend. So that is a certain defiance of standards. You're an animal, you should be here, and you've stepped up to this. You have defied that standard. So I'm not sure that's what the rabbis meant. But be it as it may, the Gemara several times does say the dogs are associated with this trait of Azus, of this self-confidence, this boldness, this audacity, however you want to describe it. Yeah?
The thing that comes to mind to me with the dog is loyalty.
Loyalty.
And Caleb was loyal to his master.
Right. That's a good point also, right? So you have that loyalty. Right. The loyalty of a dog. Kalev remained loyal throughout. That's a good point. And I would add in that this trait of Azus, which the Gemara does discuss as a trait of a dog, very much applied to Kalev. He's able to stand up. He had the courage, the ability, the self-confidence to stand up to those standards that were set around him, to others who may have been stronger, more powerful, threatening, and do what was right despite the standards. So there was a certain defiance that he had to tap into in himself, to defy that which was around him. So I think that of all these different traits we've discussed, in being a Jew, that's an extremely important trait, if not one of the most important traits of being a Jew, which is that we call it Azus de Kedusha. There's a certain Azus of a holiness. We talked about Azus could be a negative thing. The people who never submit to authority are always fighting and always are trying to defy. We look negatively on those people. But as a Jew, there has to be a certain trait of Azus de Kedusha, holy Azus, which means that the society around us, the standards that are there, are not necessarily our standards. The conventional wisdom within society around us isn't necessarily Torah wisdom. The expectations of the greater community at large, the values of the community at large, the definition of success in the community at large are not necessarily Torah standards, Jewish standards. And for a Jew to act as a Jew, it takes a certain trait of our willingness to defy standards around us. We may not feel them the defiance of it, but it takes a certain boldness, a courage, a strength. You know, when everyone is doing X, and I say I can't do it because it's not kosher, or I can't do it because it's Shabbos, or I can't do it because it's dishonest, I can't do it, whatever it may be. You have to have a certain willingness of, you have to have courage, you have to have willingness, you have to have self-confidence, you have to have this positive, this strength, this boldness in order to stand up to that. It takes a lot of strength. Without that strength, you cannot follow Jewish standards while living in a non-Jewish society. It's impossible. So any Jew living a Jewish lifestyle, an observant Jewish lifestyle, it requires to have this courage, you have to have this self-confidence. And that, to me, that's a major lesson to take from Kalev. Just like, you know, being a Jew is kind of being like Kalev. Just like Kalev's situation was everyone around him was doing X. X was inappropriate. Now, Kalev had to be there, and he had to stand up and say, that's not what I want to do. I don't want to join into your plot. But that's not my values. That's not what I feel is right. That's not what I feel is God's will. I'm going to defy your standards and stand up to you. So we're all of that Kalev within the bigger society. The society around us doesn't always live up to our standards. And we have to stand up with that strength and say, this is not who I am. This is not what I believe in. I don't feel this is God's will. I don't feel this is correct or appropriate. And I have to defy those standards sometimes. And the society around is very tempting. It's very powerful. The culture around us is very powerful. And it seeps into who we are. Again, not necessarily in a direct manner, but even just the subtle messages of what do we view as success in life? What do we view as values? What are values? What are our moral values? What are our society? How do we structure a society? How do we focus our days? Those are things which there's no attack against us. They're not trying to convince us necessarily in a direct manner, but it's a very subtle drip from the society around us, the slow drip process of forming attitudes and perspectives and emotions. So if the perspective, if our perspective it gets formed by society, so it may end up being a non-Jewish, a non-Torah true perspective. We have to be willing to say, no, that's not how I feel, that's not appropriate based on my moral values, and I have to defy those standards sometimes and act different. And it's very difficult. So, but that's something we get from Kalev. Kalev tells us that we all can have the ability to defy the standards around us. And he was able to do that. And what happened to Kalev, of all the Jews who were living at the time of the Exodus, the only men, the women actually made it into Israel. The women did participate in this. But the men, of all the men, only Kalev and Yeshua made it through. Everyone else died in the desert. And they were rewarded because they were able to stand up to the temptation and desire to join in the plot of the spies. They were able to persevere, and Hashem gave them great reward. Yeah?
I think that Caleb was actually worried for his life. Because if he were to let the spies know he disagreed with them, he thought they would
kill him.
Right, and they almost did. You're right. So they almost did kill him, but he still stood up for it and believed in it at the end. The Torah says one other very important thing about Kalev, which is when God's describing the greatness of Kalev's deed. So it says, the person who enter into the land of Israel who survive is Avdi Kalev, my servant Kalev, who had a ruach acheres. He had a different ruach, a different spirit. He was miluach harai. He was totally devoted to me, totally followed me. So it says that Kalev had a different ruach, a different spirit about it, a different attitude, a different perspective. And really, what it means to be a Jew is that we have to make sure that we have a ruach acheres. We have a different perspective on society and on life than others may have. That's what it means to be a Jew. Kalev said, there's 10 people going in this direction, but I'm different. That's not going to be me. I have a ruach acheres. I have a different perspective. I have a different attitude. We have to form those attitudes and perspectives based on Torah, even though they may be different. Jewish people, we are different. We do have different attitudes and perspectives on things. And we have to make sure we form ourselves willing to have a different attitude, and we walk away with that ruach acheres, with that different feeling. And the term ruach, it means a different spirit. It can mean a different drives. It can mean different motivations. There's a lot in that term of ruach in Hebrew, ruach acheres. Having a different ruach means we have different motivations. We have different drives, a different focus in life. And we're striving towards something else. So Kalev said, they have one focus in life. That's not my focus. I'm going to have a different focus. And Hashem truly rewarded him because he was able to set himself apart and have that different perspective and attitude on life. So just to sort of sum up,
You have a few minutes. I want to tell a story about my mom.
Yes, give me 1 minute, and then you can tell a story, okay?
Okay, because Gandalf is the right place to tell it.
Okay, good. It's just to sum up, and then we'll let Sarah tell her story, which is that I think the 4 points Mr. McCullough, which I think apply very much to just living daily as Jews, McCullough had to put himself in a different position from all the other spies. We're put in times of challenge in a society which doesn't necessarily agree with us. So Kalev did, there's three or four traits of Kalev we discussed. Number one, prayer. Prayer is a very powerful tool to separate yourself, to get God's help in your life, to stand up to challenges, to keep the Torah true standards. He proactively, as Yafune, he proactively cleared himself out of those thoughts. It takes, you know, contemplation, time, focus to clear yourself out from inappropriate thoughts or motivations or whatever values. And there's Azus. It takes a real a courage, a strength, a boldness, a chutzpah, a defiance to go up against the standards of society or the standards of people around you to be different. It's not easy to be different. We all want to fit in, but we have to be different sometimes. And that's called teaches us that you need to have that Azus. And it ends up, the person ends up with the Ruach HaCheres. You have a whole different perspective on life, different motivations, different drives. And that's what it means to be a Jew, is that we have to be different at times and be proud of being different, with that courage and with that boldness to be different. I think those are the big lessons of college.
Yeah. Okay, the story is still in my memory, because it's kind of one of very, very sharp memory. In Russia was Stalin, if you remember. Stalin was not a, more than a ruler. It was, people consider him look like a god. Because they were not God. When he passed away, they was afraid to announce, and then you need to do something. They announce. Okay. My family lived in one house, and it was a second house. It was looked like the white car. And the woman started to cry. And people, I remember, people cry because they assume that it will be end of the world. How to live without Stalin, nobody knows. And the woman cried tremendously. I remember my mom. She did not go to this woman. She stayed to now, how to say it is, like next to the house. I'm nervous that I don't remember. And talk to her. And very loud on the full street show, why are you crying? The woman has no job. She live on the government payroll. He has three or four sons. All of them was killed during the war. And she received some kind of pension that she lived. And she goes, you did not cry when your husband passed away. You did not cry when your son, you received the letter about your son dying. Why you cry? What happened? I don't know what you will do. I will go to bake cakes. Because we have today a holiday. Something very important in our life happened. You need to be, think, understand what's going on around. And she was not afraid, loudly. To tell her opinion about what's going on. And the life will continue without Stalin. She hated. We have reason to hate it. But she not was afraid to loudly on the old streets. It is people here loudly say, my mom has this quality, what you call it. Thank you very much for the class. You will write down what the quality are and I tell my children. I'm sorry if you don't understand.
Thank you for sharing. Thank you.